So this was the day finally was chosen to give Srila Gurudev Sannyas by Srila Bhakti Rakakshidhar Dev Goswami Maharaj. And it was after much delay, much hesitation. Gurudev was refusing, avoiding, and trying to change the subject, put it off. Years went by like this. And finally, because Srila Sridhar Maharaj wanted to install Srila Gurudev as acharya, Sevite President Acharya, and Sannyas would confirm it and make it possible. But Gurudev just felt he preferred the humble position, his grihastha vesh, and being the manager and just doing things as he always did before. He could serve. He felt his service capacity was more favorable in a humble way in his white dress. But finally, Srila Sridhar Maharaj threatened, said, "Fine, I will end my life if you don't do this, and I will break the mat if you will not take charge of it." So Srila Gurudev said, finally, after so much pressure and avoidance, Gurudev said, "I am your goat. You can cut my tail, or do as you please, cut my throat, cut my tail, do as you please with me." So this day was the day before Srila Sridhar Maharaj's Vyasa Puja. So it's kind of like giving in for him on this occasion, and like one day before he gets what he wants and they can celebrate. Yeah, early birthday gift. So I think it was Srila Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj who came and did the sannyas function, and some of our senior devotees were present on this occasion.
I've seen a picture of Gurudev after his sannyas initiation, about 20 sannyas.
Mm-hmm.
Faces of whom I'm not recognized, very few American recognize.
Yes.
And mostly Westerners.
Mm-hmm.
Picture with the Western sannyas.
Yes. It was during that time when Srila Sridhar Maharaj was giving all those talks about Sri Guru and His grace, and so many questions from the GBC and the senior Vaishnavas in ISKCON would come. So many were present at that time. But as soon as the sannyas function ended, Gurudev was back and doing his service and just on with life, and in his humble mood, his service mood, but sacrificing himself and fulfilling Srila Sridhar Maharaj's cherished desire.
He would say many times how happy he was as a family man.
Yes.
With his small house with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Just having a nice family life. He said, and then Guru Maharaj called me, and I had to give it up over like 2 days or 3 days. It was very sudden. But he was saying, even that day, Guru mentioned, he was saying that, asking Guru Maharaj, "Let's postpone for Gaurapurnima." And then he was thinking, he said, "I was thinking after Gaurapurnima I can postpone to Kartik again, and maybe a few years more I will buy." Then Guru Maharaj, like he said, he insisted that he will leave his body. He doesn't do it now. And then Gurudev looked at him and he understood that he wasn't joking. That was serious. So you can imagine the degree of sacrifice, because he was very happy already. Kids, loving wife, caring wife, everything was set up, but still he was called. I mean, he never sacrificed his service. Even though he was grihastha, still the service was going on. Not a single piece of it was sacrificed for his household life. That was on the side. But he just mentioned that he was always happy.
And then for Guru Maharaj, he gave it up in a matter of few days. Sometimes it takes for people years to decide. Give it up, few days, give it up. Amazing.
And Srila Gurudev was also, he was already known as Govinda Maharaj.
So, that was Srila Sridhar Maharaj's favorite name of Krishna, Govinda. Govinda Sundar. His deity is Shishi Guru Gauranga Gandharva Govinda Sundar, and his favorite devotees, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Maharaj. So, he was re-established and ready for his service. And
he mentioned that Guru Maharaj, he brought the pepper, like a wheel, type of wheel, saying that I am establishing Govinda Maharaj as my successor and giving him 5 years. Let's say I'm leaving this world, after that he will become a Sevait Acharya, but in 5 years he must take sannyas. And if he doesn't take sannyas, then another Acharya should be chosen. So that was the original will. But then seeing that Govinda Maharaj is hesitating, and he will rather give this place to somebody else, but will continue serving, humbly serving to the mat, he insisted that day. He could understand that he may not stay for long, and if he leaves, then there will be no one who can force Govinda Maharaj. Because in some other talk, he was saying that Guru Maharaj, he tried everything, even some tantric, he asked them, because he used all kinds of persuasions. And then he even tried some tantric. And then Gurudev said, he tried some tantric on me, but I'm more powerful than tantric. So Guru Maharaj couldn't do anything. It was an interesting talk. And then some astrology, he tried to convince me with astrology. And I was saying, I'm also Jyotish, he said. And I'm saying that I'm not going to stay. And then Guru Maharaj dismissed it. He said, nonsense. I will take care of it. You take sannyas, the rest I will take care of it. I give you more 20 years. Don't have to worry about it. Because Gurudev said, according to my Jyotish, I will stay maybe 62 or 63, till 62, 63. And I will have to leave the world. Guru Maharaj said, I will take care of it. I'll give you 20 years more, so don't have to worry. Just take sannyas.
When we were with Srila Gurudev, we didn't really celebrate the state. It was just on the calendar. We acknowledged it. We respected it. Said ki jai.
Will you say something like doing a morning talk?
No, no. Just in the Mangalarti, the ki jai, and really, what was on his mind was the big day, the very following day. Vyasa Puja of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, that was always, this is the time. So preparations and menus and guest lists and invitations going out to all the temples, everyone would come, take prasadam the next day.
Yeah, I can imagine there was a huge gathering. Yes. I was never there for that day.
Yes.
So many God brothers and Guru Maharaj, their followers, you should come. No, don't worry about it. Just talking is ready.
Yes, it was very well attended, and Gurudev would specifically make the menu of all Srila Sridhar Maharaj's favorite things. So his mind would be on that, and shopping in the market. Sometimes he'd go himself, select the right vegetables and ingredients. Decorations. So this was the auspicious day chosen for Srila Gurudev Sannyas. And it's also Radhakund manifestation. I only know a little bit about that, and you can say more. You can read more.
What can I say about that? What do I know about Radhakund manifestation?
We know so, Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan asking the Brajabasis, and they told him, it is there like in rice fields, a little puddle of water, that that's the Radha Kund. And you can tell us more about that.
Actually, we will speak about it. I would prefer to just like plainly speaking about it. I have no qualification whatsoever. But while reading Chaitanya-charitamrita, we can come to some point that we can connect, ontologically connected, because what's the point of discussing? I mean, there's nothing I can say about how Radha Kunda actually manifested. It's just, it's a very high lila.
Because some devotees mistakenly think, like you said, that we go there and we take a bath in the Radha Kunda. And till this day, you will see so many devotees going there and swimming in the Radha Kunda and playing in the Radha Kunda, but none of our acharyas, actually, none of our Guru Varga would do that. Everyone would come and respectfully offer their dandavats and take a few drops and put it on the head and do the parikram around Radha Kunda, visiting different holy places. And there are several very important holy places where the Goswamis resided, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Krishna Das Kaviraj, Raghunath Das Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, so many bhajan kutirs, and Raghunath Das Goswami Samadhi is there, and so many other places. So for us, we have to absorb ourselves into an ontological meaning of Radha Kunda, not just thinking that one day we will go there and jump into the water and then go back to Krishna. It's not happening that way. Like Śrīla Guru Maharaj, and Goswami Maharaj mentioned yesterday, uniquely so, he was saying that none of the previous acharyas openly disclosed the true meaning of Radha Kunda. He's saying it's the divine, it's a liquid form of Krishna Prema in this highest, in its highest, actually. So it's a liquid form of Srimati Radharani, her ecstasy, her dedication, her everything that she is in Radha Kunda, in liquid form. So how can we put our dirty feet into that water? How we can touch that? How we can, you know, even think about using, exploiting something like that for our own purification? So-called purification, not even true purification. So this is the Radha Kunda. So many wonderful pastimes happened there on the banks of the Radha Kunda with six Goswamis, Rupa Sanatan, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who disclosed the true idea, a proper idea of the Gaudiya Vaishnavism. He used to mention, who are the Gaudiya Vaishnavas? Somebody ask him that question. So what is all about Gaudiya Vaishnavas? Who are you? What's all about? And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati answered, those who are worshipping the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, they are called Gaudiyas. This is the true meaning of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And then one day, we all know that story, when the Divan, one of the wealthy rulers of one Indian province, came with the family. He was doing the Dandavat Parikram around Radha Kunda. His servant, Paramananda Prabhu, he ran. He was so impressed by seeing that Divan is, you know, offering full Dandavats with the whole family. Not just walking, but Dandavat Parikram. I'm not sure if you can relate to that. You know what the Dandavat Parikram is? Like falling flat.
They go around the whole,
and then again, and again. So yeah, you saw that. He was super impressed. A kingly person is doing that. So much affection for Srimati Radharani is there. So he ran to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who happened to be there during the Kartik Parikram. He brought a group of his devotees, his followers, and then he said, Maharaj, look how auspicious is this gentleman. He is occupying a very high position in the society, and yet he is doing Dandavat Parikram and worshipping Srimati Radharani. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentioned, yes, he is worshipping Srimati Radharani, is a bit different from ours, because he is offering his Dandavat Parikram as service to Srimati Radharani because she is dear to Krishna. But in our case, it's opposite. We are accepting some connection with Krishna because Srimati Radharani.
So she is the first in our line to offer the worship. We have some interest in Krishna because of her, but in his case it's the opposite. A more deeper connection. But anyway, these are two high subjects. But since it's Kartik month, we have a little permit to speak about it. And yeah, Mahaprabhu went there with Balabhadra. So it is mentioned that one of his reasons to rediscover Shyamakund and Radhakund. That's why he went there. He wanted to rediscover those places in particular. And at that time, Vrindavan was not as it is now, or not as it used to be. It was abandoned, and with time many places have disappeared, many buildings crumbled, because it was built and beautified during the Vajranap, the grandson of Krishna. So he actually built the city of Vrindavan, you know, to the grand state. And then many years passed, a few thousand years passed, 4,000 something years passed, so nothing was left actually. Hats here and there, some cowherd boys and girls are taking care of calves and living in a very small clay houses, dirt houses. So that was the state of Vrindavan at that time. Mahaprabhu was asking locals if they know anything about, but they didn't know. But some indications came to him. Of course, he knew everything, he's Mahaprabhu, he knew exactly where it was. But following, just for the sake of the Leela, for the sake of the pastimes, following the advice of some Brajapasis, local residents, he went there. And at that time, it is described, it was like, you know, a small body of water in a rice paddies, just a tiny ponds here and then. And then Mahaprabhu took his path over there and recited one shloka. Yatha ratha priya Vishnu satyam tasyam kundam priyam tatha sarva gopishu sevaika Vishnu ratanta valabha. Glorifying, he's saying that Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Krishna, and her kunda is as dear as herself, and she is the most foremost of all the gopi servitors and very dear to Vishnu Krishna. This is the approximate meaning of that verse. So he was reciting this verse and dancing in ecstasy on the banks of Radhakunda. And then later on his order, Goswamis went there and they developed that area. Because they had their own disciples, and disciples would come, and then Goswamis saying, if you want to offer some service, please do something about this place. And it was somehow developed. As it is said that Rup and Sanatan, they had bhajan kutirs very near to Radhakund, and Raghunath Das Goswami, when he came, his bhajan kutir was right there. And so many wonderful pastimes happened when, you know, when he was sitting there, the tiger came to drink some water in the Radhakund, and then Krishna was standing behind Raghunath Das Goswami, protecting him. And then Sanatan saw it, and he chastised Raghunath Das. He said, don't do it. Build some kind of a kutir, some kind of a shelter. Don't force Krishna to serve you. It's not good. And of course, Raghunath Das Goswami didn't know, because Krishna was standing behind with the stick, making sure the tiger wouldn't harm him. Or another day, he was giving shelter from the sun, because he was chanting there under open sun. Again, Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, I don't remember. The Srimati Radharani is spreading her sari to cover him from sun. And that was too much for them to handle. So they ordered him to build a bhajan kutir. They built a very simple hat so he can just sit there and meditate. So those Goswamis were completely being on this plane, like for us, we could see them physically present, but actually they were absorbed in bhajan on another plane. So they could see actual pastimes of Radha and Krishna happening there in Radhakund. But not rushing into there, just observing very humbly, even though they eternally belong to that place. And some of those pastimes were revealed. But again, they're too high to discuss. We can just mention in connection with them, but the true meaning is too much.
So when you go to Radhakund, don't jump into water, even if you see other devotees doing that. Any questions? It has no limitations. It's Radhakund. It's existing eternally and it's unlimited in its size, basically. But for being very merciful, Radharani revealed herself in a liquid form of the Radhakund. And actually, the size doesn't matter, but it's just a pastime. Maybe at that time when Mahaprabhu discovered it was not so big, now it's become bigger, but actually it's an unlimited ocean. So don't be fooled by the size. Don't think about holy places or anything connected to Krishna from that platform. Time, space, size, quantity, it's irrelevant. It is said that one particle of dust in Vrindavan contains both mundane creation and a spiritual creation. In one particle of dust in Vrindavan. Impossible to understand. So you can imagine what the liquid form, what a drop of the liquid form of Srimati Radharani can contain. Anyway, we'll just continue with Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yeah. Really, it's very small what is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's just Mahaprabhu is traveling with Balabhadra to Vrindavan, then he's discovering Radhakund and then reciting this verse. But in Krishna Lila, there's so many, you know, pastimes happening. Also, general mood when you go to Vrindavan, especially Radhakund. Radhakund is a very special, very intimate place of bhajan of so many of our acharyas. So you have to be in a very humble mood. You will be approached by many brahmanas, like local brahmanas, priests, and they will force you to do some puja and give them some donations. So just don't argue with them, humbly accept, just do one puja for their sake, just to keep it all peaceful, and everything will be fine. Gurudev used to say that he would do that puja. Someone asked him, Gurudev, what shall we do when they're approaching us? They're very pushy. He said, just give them some paisa and some flowers offering and finish. No arguments. Yes. Yeah, just little. Keep it very simple. Don't overdo things. Don't get too excited. Just keep your humble mood and do parikram and listen to a parikram leader, usually an experienced senior devotee. In the best case, Maharaj will come and then he will guide the parikram and just follow his footsteps and listen to what he is saying. The main thing is the listening when you're visiting the holy places in the association of the Vaishnava. Try not to go there just for tourism's sake. Not a good idea. First of all, you will not understand, you will not get anything, and most likely you are to commit Dhammaparat, Namaparat, Vaishnavaparat, and so many other aparats. So instead of getting some auspicious results from visiting the holy place, you'll get so many inauspicious results if you're not under the guidance of the Vaishnava. So it is very important. Before, when we were very young devotees, enthusiastic devotees, we always dreamed to go there. We didn't care about, you know, Vaishnava guide or anything like that. We just wanted to go and see those places because someone was telling so many things about it. And would actually go there without any guidance and do all kind of nonsense. And now, of course, I am regretting, but I'm hoping that Krishna is very merciful, Radharani is very merciful, and consider I'm still a spiritual infant, but at that stage I was like a newborn baby, so they wouldn't, you know, punish me for that. But we did so many stupid things without knowing it. Of course, now we all know, and you are getting proper nourishment since the beginning, so just follow those instructions of the senior Vaishnavas or Guru Varga and everything will be fine. So we are to continue Madhya Lila chapter 24, the 61 explanations of Atmarama verse by Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an instruction to Sanatana Goswami. So yesterday we discussed four types of Chatur Vitha Bhajantimam. Chatur Vitha, four types of different people who are approaching Krishna, accepting the path of devotional service. Distressed, those who desire wealth, the inquisitive, and those who are in the search for the absolute. And we had a talk with Maharaj yesterday. I asked this question, why? I mean, in the next verse, there's 95, it is said that materialistic devotees take to devotional service and worship Krishna when they are distressed or in the need of money. So I was wondering, why is it mentioned here? They are in the need of money and they are coming for Krishna, approaching Krishna. The Maharaj said, oh, maybe it's when they're losing the money and they're full of distress, and then they're thinking, oh, now we lost everything, now is the time to surrender. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and also all our other acharyas are mentioning that actually, when you have the money in your hand, this is the time to surrender it to Krishna. Not when Krishna takes it away from you, now I'm ready to surrender. No, when you have something, give it to Krishna. This is the true surrender, a proper sacrifice. It's like sometimes devotees would come to visit Srila Govinda Maharaj and they spend a whole month or 2 months or 3 months in India, and the last day before they leave, they will bring some money to Gurudev and offer it to him. Gurudev would accept it, of course, happily, but then he will say, this kind of offering is of a second quality. Because there were some devotees who would come on the first day to see Srila Gurudev and give everything they had with them, all the money, and then rely on the Krishna's grace and Vaishnava grace. That was the first class offering, because they would completely surrender everything they had. And those who spent several months and didn't give something to Gurudev, I mean, okay, whatever left, some rupees left, we're not taking it back to our countries, cannot exchange even in such a low currency, let's just give it to Gurudev. That's as a second class offering. So not as high quality, not as, you know, sacrificial as the first one. So mostly, we tend to offer Krishna whatever is left, not what we receive. What we receive, Krishna sent to us, we shall use for our sake, and little bit left, of course, we can give Krishna. We're not so, you know, stingy. Something left, give some Krishna, some paisa left. Krishna doesn't need money. He's Krishna. We need some money. He's giving, we're taking, and something giving back. This is the general mentality. But true Vaishnava, whatever he receives, he will give everything to Krishna or everything to the Guru. And then he will be relying on the grace of Krishna. So, one of the limbs of Sharanagati, surrender. Always accept Krishna as your protector and trust, believe, have faith into that Krishna will protect you in all circumstances. He will provide. But don't be stupid. So take care of yourself first and think about Krishna. But don't say, oh Krishna, now we are all surrendered, please give us everything. We will be sitting here. Anything call us, we will be waiting. No, we have to offer ourselves first. Whatever we have to offer it to Krishna and try our best to do service, to offer some seva. And whatever comes as a result, we automatically give it to our guru. Then we don't suffer any reactions for that. So anyway, I said to Maharaj, the only case like that, when people need some money and they're coming to devotional service, I can think about this in India. When people have no money, they have nowhere to go, they're very poor, they just go to mud temple somewhere. And then they give free food, free place to stay, and even some position they can occupy. And then slowly they are purifying themselves and developing more interest in Krishna consciousness and actually, you know, becoming devotees. Well, in the beginning they might just come because they have no cash and they have no food to eat. Echari sukritihaya mahabhagyavan tat tat kamadi chadihaya sudha bhaktiman. Because they have a pious background, all four types of people are to be considered greatly fortunate. Such people gradually give up material desires and become pure devotees. Dinoshustoy. So no matter who are those people, they're all considered to be pious and auspicious because they all step on the path of devotional service by one reason or another reason. And as it was mentioned before, two of them, the one who is inquisitive, curious, and the one who is looking for the absolute truth, are to be considered transcendentalists. They are occupying a higher level because they're actually inquiring about absolute truth. And two others, they're in distress, they have problem in the family, or sick, or just generally troubled-minded people, and those who are looking for some economical benefits, they're coming to Krishna. They're of a lower level. But all of them, all four, are auspicious. So you can also think, apply it to yourself, thinking, oh, why did I come to Krishna consciousness? Many reasons. Maybe Lilavati came and, oh, these people giving free, such a wonderful food. And they're nice people too. I like it. I think I will stay. And then slowly was captured by the Lord in the form of the prasadam, in the form of the devotees, in the form of the deity, in the form of the guru. Krishna is all attractive. So you can attract every aspect of our senses, mind, intelligence, heart, everything can be captured by Krishna. Of course, sometimes we're forgetting that and projecting our attention to mundane things, forgetting about Krishna service, devotees of Krishna. Happens sometimes. Sadhu Sangha Kripa Kimma Krishna Kripaya Kamadi Dushanga Chari Sudha Bhaktapaya. One is elevated to the platform of devotional life by the mercy of a Vaishnava, the bona fide spiritual master, and by the special mercy of Krishna. On that platform, one gives up all material desires and the association of unwanted people. Thus, one is elevated to the platform of pure devotional service. So again, it is only possible by the mercy of the Vaishnava. It is repeatedly mentioned in the scriptures and in particular in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. But without the grace of the Vaishnava, nothing is possible. No matter how hard we try to follow all the regulations and principles, do all sorts of sacrifice, study the scriptures, do all kinds of austerities, yoga, etc. It will never bring us to Krishna. Only the grace of the devotee, only the grace of the Vaishnava can do that. So one who is stepping on the path of devotional service needs that grace to proceed on. Actually, that grace is needed since the beginning. since the very beginning by the grace, the Sukriti, how it appears. The Sukriti appears by the grace of the Vaishnava. And with the increase of the Sukriti, it takes us to a different level of association and acceptance of the Vaishnava. And then when we are very fortunate, we accept Vaishnava as our guide, our guardian, and follow his instructions on the path of devotional service. So this is the way to success. And it is mentioned in this particular verse. Sadhu Sangha Kripa Kimba Krishna Kripaya. Only by the Sadhu Sangha, by the association with the holy people, Vaishnavas, and by their mercy, Kripa, we can obtain Krishna Kripaya, mercy of Krishna. Without that, it is impossible. And eventually, it will take us to the Shuddha Bhakti, pure devotion. It is personal. Satsangan mukta dushango hatum notsahade buddha kirtayamanam yasosya sakrida karnya rochanam. The intelligent who have understood the Supreme Lord in the association of pure devotees and have become free from bad materialistic association can never avoid hearing the glories of the Lord, even though they have heard them only once. Again, in this verse it is mentioned those who are buddhiman, like we spoke yesterday about it. Buddhiman means a spiritually intelligent, very intelligent person. Not just regular material intelligence, but something higher than that. So they are approaching that. They want to know about Absolute Truth. And to know about Absolute Truth, they are accepting the shelter of the Vaishnava. That's why they're called buddhiman, intelligent. Because they're accepting the shelter of the Vaishnava, and this is the only way. So they're that intelligent. They understand what the way is. And then just through the association with the Vaishnava, they're becoming free from all kind of unwanted qualities, misconceptions, like Maharaj mentioned yesterday, anarthas. They don't mean just bad qualities, bad habits. They also mean misconceptions that we have. It's also in the category of anartha. So all these things will disappear through the association with the sadhus. And it is so powerful that in the verse, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva. Anyway, I forgot the verse, but it is mentioned that just a particle of a second of association with the holy person, with the Vaishnava, with the Sadhu, can grant you all the Siddhis, all the auspicious qualities, all the perfection can come to you. And if you hear just once from a Vaishnava about the glories of the Lord, you will never forget that. And you will always desire more and more. So it is confirmed in this verse. Okay, the verse is Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastri Hoy, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Kripa Hoy, or Sarva Siddhi Hoy. So just once it is necessary to see, to hear. And it is confirmed that Srimad Bhagavatam, this particular verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam. Dukshanga kahiye kaitava atma vachana Krishna Krishna bhaktivino anya kamana. Cheating oneself and cheating others is called kaitava. Association with those who cheat in this way is called dushanga, bad association. Those who desire things other than Krishna's service are also called dushangas, or bad association. Sometime, the bad association we're having is ourselves, when our mind, our senses are not under control. So this is the first bad association we have, even without having others around us. So that we have to remember. We have to try and absorb ourselves in thoughts about Krishna, thoughts about Vaishnavas, thoughts about higher plane, higher subjects, and observe ourselves in service. It is, there's a saying in English, I don't remember how it goes, but if your mind is not occupied, it's becoming a residence of a devil, The devil resides in your mind if it's not occupied with something. So you have to occupy your mind, absorb it in Krishna consciousness and service. Then mind will be busy thinking about how to do things better way, or how to do this or how to do that, and dedicate it all to Krishna and Vaishnavas, and everything will be perfect, everything will be automatically harmonized in that way. Our mind and senses is like seasons. Sometimes season is good, sometimes season is more harsh, or sometimes the weather is good, sometimes weather is bad. But the truly intelligent people, they're trying to be on an equal platform. They are on the equal platform. Rain comes, tolerating the rain. The sun comes, they're tolerating the sun. When it's cool, they're accepting it as it is. They're not disturbed, or they're not too much happy. They're equal. It is described in Srimad Bhagavad Gita. The true yogis, they can be equal through the storms of our mind, senses, actual bad weather, actual bad conditions of the world. It will come and it will go. But what will stay is our dedication, our surrender, our service to the Lord. That will stay. Dushanga kahiye kaitava atma vachana krishna krishna bhakti vina anya kamana. So we should try to avoid the bad association, dushanga. Bad association of our mind have to be avoided. And also bad association from the outside world have to be avoided. That's why we're trying to stay in the company of the Vaishnavas no matter what. It is very, very important. We have to really value it and appreciate it. Don't take it for granted. And be extremely grateful for that opportunity. Because so many people, so many devotees, they don't have that opportunity to live with the Vaishnavas, to have a chance to go and participate in the morning program, to offer your dandavas to Giriraj Govardhan, to your guru. You can imagine how many, you know, like Maharaj, how many disciples he has. And his disciples, of course, they cannot even dream about this, to live next to your guru and have opportunity to serve him daily, bring prasadam, do something, see him, being able to offer dandavats in person, or listen to him. It's a very unique and very fortunate situation. So again, don't take it for granted. Try to value it. Because when we are in a close association with the Vaishnavas, naturally, unfortunately, we are developing some familiarity. And when the familiarity is developed, then we cannot see the qualities of the Vaishnavas. So it is very important to understand, always remind ourselves, who are these people surrounding you? Their Vaishnava qualities have to come first. Also, it is extremely dangerous, actually, to have a close association with your guru. So even though it's very auspicious, but at the same time it's dangerous. It's like a butterfly attracted by the light of the candle, but coming too close, she can burn the wings. So we have to be careful not to develop familiarity with the guru as well. Don't see him as a regular person, as a mere human. That is also very dangerous. And it's one of the apparatus of the holy name. The guru must be seen as Krishna himself, or for the advanced disciples, Krishna Nityananda Prabhu, we can relate to Nityananda Prabhu easier, but for advanced disciples, he is no different from Srimati Radharani herself. This is the ultimate vision of our guru. This is what kind of position he occupies. And also, in relation to other Vaishnavas, we have to concentrate and try to see their Vaishnava qualities, because this is what matters. Other things doesn't matter so much. It's not important. we are to concentrate ourselves on seeing the good qualities of the Vaishnava devotee, his Vaishnava nature. This is the most important. It is also mentioned that too much familiarity can breed contempt, and the contempt can lead to apparatus, neglect, negligence, and eventually apparatus. Have to be aware of this. It's a scary thing, right? But we have to remind ourselves about it all the time. And keep very affectionate, very loving relationship between each other. And it's 8 o'clock, we have to finish. Now we are on a very strict schedule. Any questions? No? Devotee looks like she has a question. Or she's just spacing out two ways of interpreting Devotee's face at the moment. Wine is dangerous? It's devastatingly dangerous. It will destroy your bhakti because you will commit the Vaishnava apparat, and not just Vaishnava apparat, but also guru apparat.
For some devotees like have like very close relationship, or the guru give more merciful to them, and they consider like maybe guru also like one of my friends.
Oh, he is ultimate friend for sure. He's your friend first of all. That's guaranteed. But what I'm talking about is, for example, you seeing him, like sometimes gurus are sick. Sometimes they might exhibit different moods, sometimes bad mood, sometimes good mood. But for us, for the disciples, it have to be seen as the Leela. We don't care about it. If we concentrate too much of the humane nature of the Guru, we will forget about his spiritual nature. We will not concentrate on whatever substance he is giving to us, whatever he come to give, that's most important. We will think, oh, he's this particular, you know, old man, he's this size, body, he likes to do this or likes to do that, he doesn't like this and that. Of course, you have to mind that in your service. But your concentration has to be on his instructions. And always see the Vaishnava as Vaishnava, his Vaishnava qualities. For example, I might see you, I might not like something about you. Many things I may not like. I'm just saying, for example. And then I'll think, oh, this Lilavati. This Lilavati, I really dislike her. No manners. Speaking, she's like, you know, making faces, doesn't talk nicely, doesn't do something when I ask her to do. I don't like this girl. I just hate her. But instead, I should have think, oh, this girl, it's amazing. I mean, she come here, sacrifice everything. She's in the temple. Even though there's so many things that she can do, she's very young, very attractive, very intelligent. She can go that way, she can go this way, have a family, have a nice job. And she's sacrificing everything for Krishna and trying her best to serve. Happily so. And she have a bad manner sometimes. It doesn't matter. I also have bad manners. I can tolerate that, but what is most important is that her dedication to Vaishnavas and dedication to Krishna. That is the vision we have to develop, because all of us have bad qualities. That is guaranteed. Good qualities, not guaranteed, but bad qualities, guaranteed. Everyone's got some. And some good qualities there, usually more bad than good. But what is the Vaishnava vision? We always concentrate on the good qualities and try to develop those qualities, because those we can offer for Krishna. Give it to him. So our vision of Guru is non-different from Krishna. And of course, he is our friend. He is our guardian. He is our father, grandfather. That kind of position he is occupying. And giving very merciful, giving us opportunity to serve him. And sometimes he may not like, for example, Sulakshana cooks something and he doesn't like it, and he will tell straight away, what is that? Is this a food or a fish food or something? What are you bringing to me? He can chastise. And then we might think, oh, this old man, this is not good, that is not good, I'm trying my best, you know. And he is always angry. I hate it. I'm not going to be here anymore. It's a bad place for me to be. I'm going back to China and will stay with my parents and maybe get married and have a happy life. We might think like that too. But again, a true disciple will accept this as a grace, as a mercy. Like, oh, Vaishnava is noticing my service. Even though my service is not perfect, he is so merciful that giving me instructions how to perfect my service. He might just tolerate that and next time, please tell that girl not to bring anything to me. But no, he's giving me direct instructions how to proceed, how to do it properly. And now I'm receiving how important it is for him. Something like that. So don't get too much. Don't get your wings burned by a close proximity to a Vaishnava devotee. And don't take sides as well. Sometimes you can witness that Vaishnavas, your guru and his maybe god brothers or senior devotees, they have some argument. You cannot take sides. You better withdraw. Don't even listen. Don't participate. They are on their level. They can discuss those things and they can argue about something, but you should not participate in that because you can commit Vaishnava parat and destroy your bhakti by that. So it's also a part of a familiarity. Always consider the body of Guru as a transcendental form, spiritual form. Don't think it's just a mundane form he is occupying. All the things connected to Guru, his personal belongings are worshipable to the disciple. It is not the main object of what is the main object of worshipping is his instructions. The substance he is delivering, the substance that is coming through him from our Guru Varga, from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, ultimately. That is what is most important. But everything else connected to Guru is also of a spiritual nature. So we should always pay respects to everything connected to Guru. His images, his pictures have to be kept in a nice place. Don't put it on the dirty surfaces or in inappropriate places or too low. It has to be held high. Even his shoes, normally shoes staying on the ground, but the Guru's shoes have to be elevated and worshipped too. But again, the most important is his instructions. But the rest should not be neglected. And then seeing Vaishnava in that way, you will develop a proper mood and can happily proceed on the path of devotional service without impediments, without obstacles, under his guidance.